This is Images. I'm Fred Martino. Thanks so much for being with us. We start the program every week with Brooke Stockburger, the managing editor of the Las Cruces Bulletin. Brooke, it's always good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too, Fred.
Good to have you here. And we start off with a real important story on the front page of the Bulletin this weekend. It's a very important organization. I've had the honor of getting a chance to go through this place that so many people depend on, hospice. And you're doing a series on this, and this is nice because not only are you serving as editor, but you've written the first installment on the front page.
Yeah, Mesilla Valley Hospice, they've been around for a while. They've had their own facility now for many years, since the 90s. And so I decided to talk to some volunteers who work at Mesilla Valley Hospice. Now, the thing about the organization, the nonprofit right now, is they're in another fundraising campaign. They'd had one several years ago for help with their facilities and their building and that sort of stuff. But they're struggling a little bit because occupancy is way down. They budgeted for a certain amount of patients, a certain number, and that's way down. And so they're in a situation where they're sort of property rich, but, you know, flow poor when it comes to funds, and it's a great organization, and it's helped so many people. But so there's still the chance to get the word out about what hospice is. You know, I thought everybody sort of knew. I just sort of assumed. My mother was a hospice nurse's aide for a number of years, so I'm real familiar with it myself. But a lot of people still aren't real sure exactly how it works and that sort of stuff. So I thought several stories would be appropriate. And this first one deals with people who volunteer. They have a lot of volunteers, about 100 of them there, that really saves them a lot of money. And
yeah, I saw in your story about $200,000 a year.
In savings,
yeah. In savings, having the volunteers, which is very important. You know, and they do need that. I know they're trying to raise $1 million. One way that we're all able to help is through Albertsons. If you shop at Albertsons, you can get a tag for your keychain, and they scan it, and a portion of what you buy goes to hospice.
Hospice, which is a great idea. Yeah. And I've talked to several people. I guess a lot of volunteers are people who have experienced hospice. You know, they've had a loved one in it, and they really came to respect and like the hospice and have wanted to give back. There's one lady who all she does is works on the garden for them, and people do paperwork. And, you know, probably people picture volunteering as patient care, and that's a big part of it. But there's people who never, you know, work with the patients. If you're uncomfortable doing that, there's all kind of abilities needed over there. And
yeah.
I spoke with one lady who's been volunteering for 21 years, and she's working in medical records right now, helping do a lot of the paperwork and
that sort of thing. That's wonderful. I have a friend who visits hospice every week with her dog and goes and sees some of the clients who are at hospice who like that opportunity to see an animal there. And, you know, one of the great things about this series that you're doing and about the fundraising is to raise awareness of the importance of hospice and educate people about hospice, how important it is and what it is. I've also learned through this something very interesting, and one of the reasons that they're needing to raise this $1 million is that they actually lose money when clients are brought in and are only there for a few days. So it raises the importance of taking advantage of hospice services at an earlier time period, not only for the care and comfort of the individual, but also for the financial health of hospice
as well. Yeah, and it is, like we said, a nonprofit. And, you know, some people just don't know exactly what you do. Some people feel like you need to take care of your loved ones at home. But once they experience hospice, they're so glad they've done it.
Absolutely. Very important stuff. So we'll look forward to reading that in the Bulletin this weekend. And you say a couple more installments.
Yes, they're on the way. Yeah.
Very good. Also very important work being done by the Las Cruces Diocese. Of course, we've been talking about this for weeks now, a crisis throughout the Southwest, and that involves thousands. The estimates go up to 50,000 people over the last year or so who have come across the border illegally, and there is a real need for donations and for shelter. Many unaccompanied minors, and it's very heartening to see people in Las Cruces come to the aid of people who desperately need help.
Yeah, no doubt, called Project Oak Tree. The Las Cruces Diocese is doing this to help out. We are receiving here in Las Cruces overflow immigrants from Texas, and, you know, El Paso being one of them. And people came together real fast. Immaculate Heart of Mary is where they're housing people, and they have a large parish hall that they're using. And within a matter of days, Bishop Cantu had asked for help, and within a matter of days, people were able to set up a variety of things, you know, showers and cots and play areas for kids and that sort of stuff to get that going. So, you know, that's, again, we talk about volunteers. People are volunteering to help with that, and no one really knows exactly where this is heading, you know, what the end game is with all this, and will there be more coming here, and, you know, how long is this going to take as the Border Patrol works on, you know, checking the papers and getting people set up for, you know, whether they're going to have hearings and all that sort of stuff. And there's so many children, and it's a very interesting issue because, you know, you might feel, you know, that we're letting too many people in, and they bad people can sneak through too as they're being overwhelmed at the border. But also it's hard to look at a child and say, nope,
yeah,
you know, we're not going to give you a bed or some food or that sort of thing.
Absolutely. And of course, many of these folks are, you know, leaving situations where there is great desperation, not only economic desperation, but certainly folks who fear for their lives.
Exactly.
And it's certainly something we'll be talking about for I'm sure, many, many months and years perhaps to come. But really puts once again on the front burner the question about immigration reform and what needs to be done. And in the more short term, the bill in Congress to provide funds to deal short-term with what is a crisis.
Yeah, exactly.
So, very interesting stuff. Well, moving on to the business issues, especially local business issues that are covered in this week's Las Cruces Bulletin, one of our biggest hopes for economic development and jobs in our area involves Spaceport America, of course. And as we hopefully get closer to Virgin Galactic and their first launch here at Spaceport America to take so-called space tourists up into up into orbit for, I believe, about $250,000 each.
Mm-hmm.
They need to stay in a nice hotel, and they need to eat good food. And both of those things have been taken care of, at least, right?
Yeah, you know, Virgin Galactic has been wanting to partner with different businesses here in southern New Mexico. And they are partnering with Hotel Encanto and Savoy, the restaurant down there on the way to Mesilla, Savoy de Mesilla. And so, yeah, you're right. Astronauts, for lack of a better term, space tourists are going to be coming from all around, all over the world. And they probably won't be coming alone either. So, you know, the big hope is they'll be bringing their entourage, their family, and that sort of stuff. So, you know, stay with hotels, eat at restaurants, and all that sort of stuff. And Virgin Galactic has been asking for a while for businesses to sort of touch base with them and apply to see what, you know, that way Virgin can see what these businesses offer and where they can sort of improve or meet certain standards and that sort of stuff. So they've officially announced that, you know, Hotel Encanto and Savoy de Mesilla are two they're going to be working with and suggesting, you know, to their customers.
Okay.
So very good feather in their cap.
I'm sure it is, for sure. Another business story. This is something people have been waiting for some time. One of the nation's biggest pharmacy chains, CVS, came into town a while back. Of course, their single location is on Main Street there, right across from the Walgreens at Elks Drive, I believe it is. And now they're going to be opening, before too long, another CVS in downtown Las Cruces, right near the library there. And finally, we're seeing some construction, right?
Yeah, exactly. They've had to sign up for a while, you know, coming soon CVS, and they've had a lot of things they had to do and hoops to jump through and to get things ready. And people have been asking, well, when's it going to take place? Buildings there had been raised, but now work's starting. They're starting to move earth around, as the saying goes. So the first steps are taking place. We don't have a scheduled opening date yet or anything, but it's good to finally see some work happening.
It certainly is. And, you know, another thing that's going to be interesting to watch, Brooke, in terms of our local area is post-November, assuming that the minimum wage issue makes it to the ballot and assuming that it passes, it certainly appears to have great support in the area with over 6,000 signatures on petitions. If it were to pass, if that will have any effect on these major chains moving in to the Las Cruces city limits.
Yeah, that's the question. Will they think twice about it? Because, you know, some of them employ a lot of minimum wage workers. Mm-hmm. And if that's especially a steep jump, you know, several dollars an hour.
Yeah.
All at once.
Yeah.
And I mean, it won't be all at once, but it'll be over a couple years, but it'll be a big jump. So.
Yeah. And then on the flip side, it'll be interesting to see if more chains, we did a story this week from NPR, take the route of IKEA, which without any laws to tell them to do it, they're raising their minimum pay to around that $10 mark all over the country. So they're saying, hey, this is good business for us to do this.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. Will more chains do that voluntarily?
Yeah. And just get ready for it because they probably figure it's coming at some point anyway.
It's coming either whether they do it voluntarily or whether they're forced to do it. So it'd be very interesting to see how this goes. All right. One thing that's a trend for sure locally, we saw it at the Field of Dreams, and now we see the design of what we're going to see at NMSU, artificial turf. And you have a picture in the bulletin this weekend.
Yeah, sort of an illustration, an artist's rendering, as it were. They're going to obviously the turf is being put in right now as we speak, and it's going to be the artificial grass. So the field will be green all year long, and they can use it like for bands and different competitions and that sort of stuff without, you know, tearing up grass. And they're also going to paint the end zones red. They're going to say NM State in white and have the Aggie logo in the middle of the field and a couple Sunbelt logos, which is the conference that the football team's moving into this year.
Yeah, that mascot's in the middle, isn't he?
Yes. Yes, he is. Pistol Pete with his
pistol. Pete, he's there. All right. Well, we'll look for that for sure, and it'll be interesting to see how the players react to it, how it feels to them playing on artificial turf. And speaking of NMSU, you have a story as well here, a couple of developments in baseball, too.
Yeah, as we know, longtime coach Rocky Ward is no longer with the program. McKinley Boston, the athletics director here, said they hope to have a new coach in place maybe by as soon as August 1st. So that'll be nice. And they have a search committee involved in that. And the baseball stadium is being upgraded. They received a gift of more than $1 million from an alum last year.
Wow.
And so there's a $1.4 million renovation going on over at Presley Askew Field. So, and it needs it. It needs some touch up, shall we say, a $1.4 million touch up. So
that's fantastic.
That should be a nicer looking.
Great to see all the generous people who are really doing a lot of help for the NMSU campus, the Domenici building, which is going up there. It's I think they take occupancy next month, believe it or not. It looks beautiful, and athletic improvements, and much more to come. Well, I feel bad for your movie reviewer and arts writer, Zach Hansen. Last week, we lamented the fact that he had to give an F to the Transformers sequel, and he didn't have much better to say about the movie he reviewed this week. Now, it wasn't an F, but it was close.
It was a D for Deliver Us From Evil, which is a horror movie. And a lot of critics are tough on horror movies, so horror movie fans might still like it. But Eric Bana is the star, and it's supposed to be based on a true story. And I won't get into a lot of stuff, but it deals with like possession and exorcisms and a variety of that sort of things. And he calls it, instead of Deliver Us From Evil, Deliver Us From Bad Movies.
Very interesting. So. Well, that's definitely at the most for me, one for Netflix or DVD. Definitely won't go to the movie to see a D film. If Zach says it's a D, I'm guessing it's a D or an F. So, all right. Finally, we move to the health section in the Las Cruces Bulletin, and an interesting story about Families and Youth Incorporated. Did I get that right?
Yes, exactly. Okay. FYI, a lot of people know them as. And they have a lot of people don't realize they have a syringe exchange here around town. And, you know, it's one of those things that syringes are out there. People are using them, whether for good reasons or not good reasons. But instead of seeing them end up on the street or just haphazardly thrown away, this is a chance for people to take them in and have them be, you know, destroyed or thrown away in a proper fashion. And they hope that it, you know, it decreases the chances of people maybe reusing needles and contracting diseases and that sort of stuff. So it's an interesting story for the health and wellness.
Absolutely. And something that's been happening all over the country, but at times is controversial. And this is very interesting that this is occurring locally at FYI and something I didn't know. So I love when I can learn new information every weekend by reading the Las Cruces Bulletin. And of course, you can also go online to LasCrucesBulletin.com. Brooks.
Yes, sir.
Good to have you here.
Good to be here, as always.
Brooks Stockburger. He is the business. No, you're the managing editor. I always want to say business. you do cover business and other things at the Las Cruces Bulletin. Brooks.